Come on and spend time with Joe's people. Just like near the old cathedral. I'm so glad I'm one of Joe's people. And we'll have a lot of laughs, get closer to the Lord. Just chill out now with Joe's people.
Ladies and gentlemen of the interwebs, welcome to Joe's People. It's a Catholic podcast, but it's not totally lame. Tonight on the big show, Joe welcomes his good friend, Catholic media expert Anastasia Northrup. They talk about Eastern Rite Catholicism, why the word single isn't a dirty word, and why she started the National Catholic Singles Conference. It's not cafeteria Catholicism, this is a four-course sit-down dinner Catholicism. And now, the man who makes me a better Catholic. Wait, I'm not saying that. Aren't you the one who told the king that the Tower of Babel would look better with a few more stories on it?
Just say the line.
Darr. All right, and now the man who makes me a better Catholic, Mr. Joe Geisler.
All right, well, thanks for the intro. So this week I have my good buddy Anastasia Northrup on the show. How's it going, Anastasia?
Good, how are you, Joe?
Good, staying out of trouble, mostly.
I'm trying to.
Yeah, so I'm getting there, yeah. So now, let's see, so we'll get into the reason we have you on, but I want to start, I always ask people, like, how long have they been one of my people? Let's see, I'm thinking it's like 4 or 5 years with you, right? So,
yeah,
ever since I went to the Catholic Singles Conference in, see, I first went to the one in Tampa, right?
Right, it was 2009.
Yeah.
We must have met in 2009.
Yeah, and I remember, you were wanting to do one in San Antonio. And I think my buddy Valerie said, oh, hey, you should meet Joe then. He's up in Austin. And, like, you know, if you want to promote, he'll get the word out.
Right.
And then she tried to... And then, see, that was the whole thing of singles, like the National Catholic Singles Conference is... I was like, wait, that sounds a little creepy, right? Because singles, we talk about how singles has a bad connotation to it, right?
Yep.
And I'm like, you're sure the singles conference is going to be creepy, right? And then you're like, oh, I'll come to the one in Tampa, right? And then it was pretty good. Although, I've mentioned, like... At the very end of it, everybody was in a hot tub at the end on the beach. And I'm like, but it wasn't creepy, though. Everybody was in a hot tub. It was all in the up and up. It was all theology of the body certified, right? So it was fun. So, but...
Yeah, well, that one was fun because it was at a resort, too, on the beach. So
yeah,
that was...
Tampa. That was good. Yeah. Remember, we were all walking on the beach praying something. What were we praying?
Maybe the rosary. They have a rosary walk.
I think it was that, yeah. No, but we were also praying... somebody recited like the Angelus. No, not the Angelus.
Divine Mercy, maybe.
Something like that. So, no, Psalm 23. One of your buddies knew Psalm 23 by heart.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so... yeah, that's right. You were going to do the conference in San Antonio. So now... So we had my buddy Ruth on last week, and she was talking about growing up in a large Catholic family. She was 6 of 9. So...
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So now Tell the folks you rank in things?
I'm actually number 1 of 9. So.
1 of 9. Okay. So, yeah, she was, we like to, she was sort of like the neglected middle child, although she said she wasn't that neglected. She was the last daughter, so.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. I'm 7 of 7, so I know a 7 of 9, though, so.
Yeah, but, yeah. So. No, well, I think anything past, I don't know, 6 or 7 is pretty much all the same until you get to the double numbers.
Yeah, double digits.
10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
Then I was thinking, oh my gosh, they have 10 kids. And like, oh, I guess that's only one more than 9. I mean,
yeah. Craziness. Who'd have 10 kids? That's just, you know, 9 you can understand, but 10, that's just, you know, it's just odd. Yeah. No. So that makes sense, right? So you got 8 younger brothers and sisters. You have to be the responsible one then. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I ended up with an overdeveloped sense of responsibility.
Slightly serious. You have to be the serious one, too. Yeah.
I try not to be, but yeah, it sort of comes with a package, I think. Yeah.
Kids, yeah. I was changing diapers when I was like 11 or 12. Well, that was my nieces and nephews, then. So.
Oh, yeah. I was changing them when I was 7 or 8, and that was my siblings, so.
Yeah. That's, I got to be the young, irresponsible one, so. We were just talking about this. You're born in California and you grew up in Washington.
Yes.
So that's where your accent comes from. But you said it's a mishmash.
No, I don't think it's a particular accent. Yeah, and I've lived all over the country. You know, Colorado, New Mexico, Wyoming, Illinois.
So why did
Carolina, Texas?
Okay, I was thinking. Okay, Now, why was the family moving around so much?
Usually for work reasons or the economy or, you know, various things like that. We have a Catholic media apostolate, OFWC Media, and so we've been recording talks at different conferences for the last 20 years. Actually, it's been 20 years this year.
That's your dad. It was, yeah, because it was it 94 or 93?
93. 93. They started,
He started a Catholic, and we'll have to talk with them about that, but they started a Catholic media company.
Right.
So we're actually able to make a dime off of the Catholic business.
I'm not sure if they made a dime, but it survived anyway. So it's and it's fulfilling because it's very, you know, you get the word out there, you can evangelize, and but that had a lot to do with moving around a lot too. So people always ask me if, you know, I'm an army brat or something.
Yeah.
No. I've got to meet a lot of great people and see a lot of the country and stuff. So it's been fun.
Cool. That's true. Yeah, I can't place the accent. See, even people that say they don't have an accent, they have an accent. So, just a matter of what, right? So, but everybody has some sort of accent. But there's an accent map that the U.S. always tell people about. So, but yeah,
well, I think you're talking about that. Yeah.
Our priest is Father David. We'll have him on sometime. But yeah, he's an army brat, so he's got accents from everywhere. So, then I have people that say I do not have an accent. So, sure you don't. Yeah. But now, now you guys were homeschooled, right?
Yes. Okay. From the time I was in fourth grade through high school.
The one thing you pointed out once is that they talk about people worrying about the socialization of homeschool kids. And you pointed out that one of the things that the public school, or just in general, schools that are you know, grade based, what they teach kids is to socialize with people that are exactly their same age.
Yeah.
So we get to thinking, and that's what I think about. Yeah, when I was in grade school, like somebody that was in the next grade, they were ancient, and then somebody was under us were kids, right? So like you got to think in terms of like, oh yeah, anybody that's like a year older than me is just ancient, and you know, not to be associated with in any way.
right, which obviously when you get out into the workforce, that really can't be the situation.
Yeah, that'd be bad, yeah. So it does add a certain amount of ageism to the, or you know, it like inculcates a certain amount of ageism into kids.
Right? Yeah, they say that children that are homeschooled can relate well with a pretty wide range of ages, so.
Yeah.
Interact with, you know, elderly people just as well as younger people, so.
My friend Teresa, she was 18 when we met her, but she actually helped me interview my friend Joan, who says she's 90 3/4. So she said she felt like she's sisters, because she likes to hang out in the 40s, because she just spends all her time listening to 40s or watching 40s movies and things. So somehow she's able to relate across a couple generations. So, but she spent all her time with her grandmother, so
that's great.
Now. What about like, so what was it like having parents that were running a business, while you were growing up? I mean, I guess.
I was in my late teens when they started it, so it's, you know, getting it off the ground, and, you know, things were always difficult and money was always tight, things like that, but it was very, had a lot of great experiences, you know, because we started recording both audio and video. And so, I mean, for example, I've taped conferences all over the country, and then one of the conferences had a conference in Turkey, so I was in Istanbul and got to go to Ephesus, and, you know, so it, you know, had its challenging aspects, but also had its very rewarding aspects, and like I said, I've met a lot of neat people all over the country and then internationally, and then that's how I've started the work that I do. With the conference, and you know, is through meeting a lot of speakers that we were taping, either at different events or that we were actually working with that particular speaker to promote their talks. You know, I have had a lot of chances to meet people, and then when I started running my own conferences, then I could, you know, I had a lot of people to pull from that we could bring together to have a great conference.
Yeah, that's interesting. You had a conference in Istanbul. This was was this a singles conference or what was the conference?
No. This is one that I run. It's a dialogue conference called Orientali Lumen, and it's with the Eastern Catholics, Roman Catholics, and Orthodox. So.
Oh yeah, we should point out you're one of them. You're one of the Eastern Rite people, right?
Yes, so, Byzantine
still
Catholic.
In communion, but you know, one of those. Yeah. So we'll have to get into all that. Yeah. So. Well, yeah. Okay, yeah. We should back up to that. So you're, Eastern Rite but Byzantine Rite.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. So, and there's a whole, so some of the listeners, they're not Catholic, so they may not understand the whole thing of what goes on with Eastern Rites. So there, my understanding is there was, at some point it was sort of like fallout from the schism that a lot of countries, like the churches broke away, then they came back.
Yeah.
And that's how the rites developed, the Eastern Rites.
Well, I mean, in the beginning, when the church spread, you know, to these different countries, as you know, I mean, the liturgy developed in different ways, and the theology developed. There was a different emphasis based on the culture that where the faith went. So,
yeah.
The liturgy in Rome was different from that in Constantinople, which was different from that in Alexandria or Antioch, and so that's where we end up getting all the different what we now might term as rites or particular churches, because. You know, like I said, it's just the traditions develop differently. So you have the same basic structure of the Mass, but then, for example, in the Byzantine Rite, we sing the whole thing, except for the homily, and there's one prayer before communion that we recite, but...
And that'd be brutal if the priest sung the homily. That'd be...
Yeah, no, that would
be worse
that'd
than...
That'd be difficult, yes. So...
Penance, yeah.
So yeah, a lot of bowing, a lot of making the sign of the cross, a lot of icons, a lot of incense.
Yeah.
It's very incarnational, so to speak.
But were they always in communion with Rome?
No, so what happened? I mean,
because I thought that's sort of how the rites developed, is there was deviation once they split, and then when they came back in, they kind of wanted to keep the rites that were developed, right?
Well, no, I mean, the church developed differently from the beginning, but they were all in communion.
Yeah.
And then there were different splits, for example, with the Monophysite heresy, you know, that was in the 300s. And then there were some splits then, and those churches are now what we call the Oriental Orthodox, like the Coptic,
yeah.
the Chaldean and stuff. And there are some that have come back into communion with Rome, some of those. And then the famous...
There was a Simpsons reference to the Coptic. Bart and Lisa ended up on a freighter that was heading to Turkey, and Homer's like, bring them back. And the captain's like, it's too late, we can't turn around. And he goes, you'll raise him Christian, right? And the captain goes, well, Coptic Christian. And Homer's like, no!
I don't think Homer would have known what that meant. But yes, there are a lot of Coptic Christians. Yeah, that would have been Egypt and stuff. So,
yeah, oh, yeah, it might have been heading there.
Yeah. Well, as far as the Byzantines go...
Have they always been in communion, or were they split and then they came back?
No, it's for the schism in 1054.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, and so, and then some of those ended up coming back into union with Rome. The Ruthenian church that I'm part of, that was in the union of Ushirod, and I think it was back in the end of the 1500s,
okay.
I'm pretty sure, or 1500 or 1600s. There's two of them, one with the Ukrainians and one with us, and they're 1500 and 1600s.
Okay.
So I should know the date by heart. But I don't.
You should. That's horrible.
Yes.
All right, well, we should take a break, too. So, all right, we'll take a break and we'll be back.
Support the building of the First Marian Shrine in Austin. Join local Austin Catholics at the Chateau Bellevue for the annual Seeds of Grace Gala, September 26th, from 7 to 10 p.m., hosted by the Schoenstatt Movement of Austin. Enjoy a catered meal, silent auction, video presentation about the shrine, and a keynote speech by Monsignor Michael Siss, Vicar General for the Diocese of Austin. For more information about the gala and to purchase tickets, visit seedsofgrace.eventbrite.com. That's seedsofgrace.eventbrite.com or schoenstatt.us. That's schoenstatt.us. If you have any questions about the event, email them to seedsofgracegala@gmail.com. That's seedsofgracegala@gmail.com.
All right, so we're back, my good buddy Anastasia. So, yeah, okay, so now we were talking about Eastern Orthodox, or Eastern, Eastern, right, you hate if people think that you're Eastern Orthodox, right? Or it's a... Yeah.
Well, it's an easy mistake to make, because if you walk into an Orthodox church, you...
It would look like a...
It would look the same as a Byzantine church. It's just that in the liturgy, they wouldn't be praying for the Pope, and we do. So, but it's the same liturgy of St. John Chrysostom. Actually, in the Roman Rite, his feast day was yesterday.
Huh.
Golden mouth. They, Chrysostom, that's what that meant, golden mouth, because he was such a wonderful preacher.
Hmm. Now, guessing St. John Damascene is big to the Eastern rites, right?
Yeah, his De Fide Orthodoxa, on the Orthodox faith, that writing of his was actually considered something like what Thomas Aquinas did with the Summa,
mm-hmm.
You know, 4 centuries later. So it was, he wrote a whole exposition of these are all what the heresies are, and then this is what we believe.
Yeah.
And there's a philosophical section there too. So it was, he's considered the last church father. You know, with the name Father. Of course, after that, there's doctors of the church and things like that. But
yeah.
he's the last one.
Huh, did not know that. I know Damascene, it's funny, in electronics, we have something called a Damascene process that comes from the way they used to manufacture icons in Damascus.
Oh, interesting.
So he's, you know, St. John of Damascus, St. John Damascene.
Right,
and,
right.
But yeah, they're reusing ideas from, they stole it from us, yeah.
Well, he was known to be a defender of icons.
Because, oh, yeah, I mean, that's his book on the what is it, Three Treatises on Divine Images.
Right, that's another popular one.
Yeah.
Because there was the iconoclast heresy in the 700s. And they, you know, there were some that said, no, you can't have any images. And then he explained why it's okay to have images. And then, we don't worship them like we, the image itself, but the worship goes to the person of whom the image is, or the, you know, God whom the image is made.
It seemed like he made the argument that the incarnation was that's what changed some of the rules in terms of the, you know, for making images of Jesus. I mean, the incarnation itself is earth having an image of heaven, basically, right? So, but
yeah, God became flesh. He became something material.
Yeah,
and so we can make an image, Jesus' image of the Father, and I mean, we can see him, so we can make an image of that.
And that's what either Lewis or Chesterton said, something like God likes thing. God likes stuff because, you know, he made a lot of it. So
right, yeah, exactly.
So anyway, sorry, we're back on now. So yeah, so you guys are Eastern Rite, and hence that's why you're in Istanbul.
The conference that we were taping was there. Yeah, that was a big treat. We had the Patriarch of the Orthodox Patriarch there of Constantinople. He was there at the conference, and I guess that was on the topic of the minute my family's apostolate. But yeah, it's been a big blessing, and it led me to do what I'm doing now with the conference.
Catholic Singles Conference. So we have people that don't like the term Singles Conference because of the connotation. Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, singles is just such a creepy word. I mean,
yeah, it seems like everybody's going to be hanging around drinking martinis, hitting on each other, basically.
Pretty much,
right?
A meat market or something. Yeah. Now, I mean, of course, I am single, and I know a lot of people that are, and most of them are not creepy. So, you know, I don't know why we have to have this association with singles, but it's there.
Yeah, no, it's, I think because, if you label a place as, it's a singles hangout, right, then it's already it just sounds bad, right? So, and there's been some priests that have said, I'm not going to have a singles ministry in my parish. Like, that just sounds, I don't know if he, you know, thought it was creepy or what, but a third of the church is single, though.
Yeah. Right? I mean, the number's higher than it ever has been.
Yeah.
And so, basically, I mean, one of the biggest complaints I've heard is people go to Mass and the priest is talking to the families and, you know, or to children or teenagers, but not really addressing people who are single. And then you feel like, well, do I belong? Maybe I'm not supposed to be here.
And they talk about church sizes in terms of families.
Right, that's
right?
True.
So, what I love, my favorite one was, my pastor once was talking about how the church was going to expand, and, you know, we're going to double in the number of families we have, and we need donations. And basically, so, is basically excluding all of the single people that have all the discretionary income from the parish in one breath, and then in the next breath asking for money from them, so.
Right.
And they're always the ones that we're the ones that have the spare time to do things for the church and such. But yeah.
Right.
So, but it seems like by default that what we call young adult ministries end up being single by de facto, just because married people tend to segregate themselves out. It seems, or you know, they They got better stuff to do after a while. It's a progression, but that's the way.
You've got three kids to put to bed at 8 o'clock at night. You're not going to be out, you know, doing something. I mean, that's just the way it is. Or, you know, you can go to the mom's group or you can go to the, you know, something for dads or something. But it's just, you know, people...
De facto, their life is changing, so they're going to change crowds.
Right. And people that they want people that they can relate to and that have something in common. They can share your struggles and, you know, share the challenges that you're dealing with and things, and people understand you. And so that's very natural. But I think that's, I mean, all the more reason that we should have things for singles, because we need to have that support. We need to have that community. We need to have others that share the faith with us and can encourage us to live our Catholic faith, encourage us in our walk with Christ. And, and the church, I think, has been really slow to recognize it because, I mean, for a couple reasons. One is that it's not really natural. I mean, in a certain sense, like we're made for marriage. And then there's, of course, the celibate vocation, that's a call, a special call from God. But I think because of our culture and because we're a very wounded culture, we've ended up in this situation where there are a lot of singles for various different reasons. I mean, I had a whole talk called Why Are We Still Single? Addressing the different cultural aspects. But we have to deal with the current situation. This is what it is. And whether people are going to remain single or whether maybe they're single again, they're divorced, an old widow.
Yeah, I mean, the church grants annulments, right? So some people are single by annulment. But the other thing is that Father John Cusick wrote a book called Basic Guide to Young Adult Ministry, where he was saying that, you know, in the 50s, people went from being in high school and living in their parents' house to maybe they went to college, then got married, or maybe they got married right out of high school and started having kids. And then the next thing is they're bringing their kids in for baptism. So they went from First Communion to marriage to baptism pretty quickly.
Right.
But now he calls it a gap between sacraments, right? That there's a big gap between them being confirmed and them getting married now, right?
Right.
10 to 20 years, probably.
Exactly.
So, and I think the statistics are what the average Catholic girl gets married at 28, the average Catholic guy gets married at 31 or 32, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, the age has gone up, and certainly now, I mean, I think that maybe that's my observation, it seems anyway, that people in their 20s, I think, are getting married again. It's this group in their 30s and 40s plus this generation that we're having the harder time as far as, you know, finding a spouse and settling down. And so again, as far as singles ministry goes, I mean, I think you need singles ministry for those that are hoping to get married, as well as those who, you know, maybe are divorced and old widowed. Maybe they don't see themselves, you know, married again, and they have to live.
Be in a community, though.
Yeah,
still.
Have a community and live a happy, fulfilled single life, you know, as a Catholic and making a gift of oneself in the church and to the people in their lives. And so, you know, I think it's crucial in our day and age, and it's really hard to find. And I've been doing singles stuff since 2005, so I've gotten to observe, you know, and it's the same kind of trend. I think it's getting better, but it's very
You're like
slow.
Jane Goodall, like looking at the apes or something. You get to see that. You have a lot of data on the single animal. Yeah, that's interesting. Or perhaps Diane Fossey and the what would she have? The gorillas.
Ah, okay, yeah. Well, I actually didn't intend to be actually single observing this myself. You know, this really wasn't my plan, but...
But it's a good sociological thing. Yeah, it's fine. Or, sorry, on that note, we should take a break, and we'll be back.
Join us for the 12th National Catholic Singles Conference in Philadelphia, September 27th through the 29th. Hear inspiring Catholic speakers and socialize with hundreds of other single Catholics. Enjoy music, dancing, food, and fellowship. There will also be time for adoration, confession, and Mass with Bishop Fitzgerald. We still have space available, so hop online at nationalcatholicsingles.com for more information and to register. That's nationalcatholicsingles.com. Thank you.
All right, so we're back. So I wanted to talk exactly about, what exactly prompted you to start the singles conference? So you said you had all these speakers.
Right. Well, first, I mean, the first big thing I think that came before that was because of our apostolate, I got into John Paul II's theology of the body, which back in 2000, you know, or when I first heard about it in 1999, I mean, people are like, theology of the what? You know, and so even now, it's still, unknown in a lot of places, but it's become much more popular, especially in the United States. You know, his whole understanding of the human person based on scripture, who we are as male and female, and...
And did you come to it through most people associated with Christopher West? I mean, he's kind of one of the ones that started popularizing it.
It was actually first hearing some random tape he had done, I think 98 or 99, I don't know, somebody gave it to us. But this is before, you know, anybody really knew about him. He was working at the Archdiocese of Denver. And
Christopher West.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I heard the tape and I thought, wow, you know, my dad and I were talking about it, that, you know, we wanted to help promote this message, and that what John Paul II said is really important, and it's a deeper understanding of who we are, the meaning of life, you know, of our sexuality. And so that's when we started working with Christopher West, and then soon, you know, we quickly began working with other speakers too that were promoting John Paul's message. So so that's actually how I got involved with the theology of the body. And then I didn't want to just hear talks that people gave about the text. I wanted to actually read it myself, so I started a study group. When I was actually living in Denver in 2001, and a group of us who were young adults and single, we got together and discussed the text, you know, did a few audiences every week. So that was very enriching. And so it was in...
And how many audiences? There was a lot. This was a lot of audio. This is basically the compendium of...
Right.
Like 100, hundreds of audiences.
129. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And then actually what happened, though, we found out later that it was actually a whole book that the Pope had written, and he just extracted parts of it every week to deliver his audiences when he became Pope. So,
I mean, he had written, when he was Cardinal Wojtyła, he'd written Love and Responsibility, right?
Maybe it was early 60s. Yeah.
But yeah, okay. So then,
in 1960, then probably,
he,
right.
But yeah. Then did he write a something?
Yeah, wait.
Or he wrote something.
The Theology of the Body was a book that he wrote, but it wasn't published. So he had written it already, and then he delivered it to his audiences. Yeah. So there were some on Song of Songs and Tobit that he did not deliver. But now the new translation includes those as well. So there's 133 or 35, depends on how you count them.
Yeah.
So, because there were some, it's complicated, I won't go into it. But anyway, yeah, the new translation, Man and Woman, he created them, A Theology of the Body, it was translated by Dr. Michael Waldstein, and he's the one that also found out about, you know, that it had been previously written as a book. And so, yeah, it's fascinating. But that's, you know, so my family's apostolate was instrumental in getting the word out in the States regarding the Theology of the Body through the different CDs and DVDs that we put together at that time, you know, tapes and videos.
Yeah. In terms of, I mean, so previous to that, I mean, Catholic teaching on sexuality, some people had said, I don't know, one of the Theology of the Body teachers said, was a big list of no's. But don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, basically, right?
Right.
And Theology of the Body is more of a, I mean, it's saying yes to things, right? It's more of a positive.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how people perceived it, right? Anyway.
Yeah.
You know, you can find, you know, there's some beautiful teaching on marriage earlier on from different encyclicals and documents and things like that. But I think that's how people saw the church's teaching, was as a list of no's. And this is basically looking into the why behind the what sort of thing, you know. This makes sense because of how we were created as human persons, because of our dignity, because of, you know, the complementarity of masculinity and femininity, male and female. And also the fact that, I mean, the big point that the Trinity is a communion of persons in love. And so being created in the image and likeness of God, we are called to image the Trinity, right? We're made to be an image of the Trinity. And how do we do that? Through forming a communion of persons in love. And so the most concrete way, you know, the most absolute way you can do that on this earth is through the sacrament of marriage. And so, you know, this is what marriage is supposed to point us to. And also, you know, Christ's union with the church, you know, when he became man. So obviously, you know, with our society being the mess that it is, you know, if the evil one wants to attack, it makes sense to attack marriage, because yeah. marriage is supposed to be an earthly sign of Christ's great love for the church and what he did, what he sacrificed for us. So
now, you had the speakers, you got into theology of the body, then you decided, okay, now you're going to do the National Catholic Singles Conference.
Well, mainly I decided I want to get all these speakers together under one roof to talk about how you live the theology of the body as a single person.
Yeah.
Because a friend of mine, Dave Sloan, had done a lot with singles ministry, and he was really, you know, encouraging me to organize something for singles. Because I had done something, you know, other seminars, just basic theology of the body seminars for anybody.
Yeah.
But he said, you know, what about doing something for singles? And so I said, okay, well, sure, we'll do something for singles. And we got the different speakers that I had met and recorded and stuff, and said, well, they can really talk about how this applies to singles. And we got them all together, and of course had the time for prayer as well, and then the social aspects, and
which is important.
Yes, very important. And we ended up with, we thought, oh, we'd be happy if we got like 250 people, and we ended up with selling out, and we had almost 400.
Yeah.
We had a waiting list, you know, because of the size of the venue that we were at. So it was really a blessing, and people said, okay, so when's the next one? And I was thinking, oh, I hadn't planned
on that, yeah.
Right, so, but it was such a great success, I thought, why not?
Yeah.
And, you know, John Paul doesn't specifically address, you know, singles in the text, and so this is a way to like take what he says and apply it to being single.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, let's take a break, and then we'll be back and talk about the conference itself. So what we're looking forward to.
Okay.
All right. We'll take a break.
Support the building of the First Marian Shrine in Austin. Join local Austin Catholics at the Chateau Bellevue for the annual Seeds of Grace Gala, September 26th, from 7 to 10 p.m. Hosted by the Schoenstatt Movement of Austin. Enjoy a catered meal, silent auction, video presentation about the shrine, and a keynote speech by Monsignor Michael Siss, Vicar General for the Diocese of Austin. For more information about the gala and to purchase tickets, visit seedsofgrace.eventbrite.com. That's seedsofgrace.eventbrite.com or schoenstatt.us. That's schoenstatt.us. If you have any questions about the event, email them to seedsofgracegala@gmail.com. That's seedsofgracegala@gmail.com.
All right, so we're back. So, let's see. Oh, yeah. So we want to talk about the National Catholic Singles Conference itself. So, yeah, you mentioned that there's, you know, theology of the body speakers, because some people would think, oh, this is a singles conference for me to meet a spouse, a Catholic spouse, right?
Yeah, well, and so, I know of at least 8 couples that have met there and got married. And
yeah.
So that can definitely
happen. It's a possibility, yeah. Right? So, yeah, it's not going to hurt that endeavor, you know.
No, but, as somebody, one of the volunteers likes to say, well, it's a target-rich environment.
You know? Yeah, yeah, that's true. And then, yeah, and I'll be there. I'll be handing out Joe's People cards here, you know, discreetly, so I won't do the hard sell, you know. So maybe I'll put it up. In San Antonio once, I put a bunch of cards under people's windshields. Somebody dared me to do it, so. I got a following down here now, so.
But. Oh, that's great. Maybe it was worth it then.
So now there will be some sort of dancing of...
Oh, definitely.
Is now, as you said, you're going to bring in some teachers that can teach...
This year it's a ballroom instructor from Denver and another one from New Jersey. They'll both be instructing together, and in fact giving a little presentation with some called Theology of Dance, with some of the kind of ideas, you know, tying in theology.
That's interesting.
It should be kind of interesting. Yeah,
there are some forms of dance in Austin that are pretty godless, so yeah, it's, you know, hey, swing, I think swing would be Theology of the Body certified, so you know,
but. yeah
but yeah, maybe not blues dancing, so, but yeah.
No, there,
but the, you know, the blues crowd, they yeah.
There's, well, there's just like, there's a whole range of music. I think there's different, you know, beautiful music and not so beautiful music. Well, same thing with dancing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's, yeah.
So, yeah, no, we always have the three components, or the talks, you know, for the formation, not just on theology of the body, but other things relevant to singles.
There's Catholics, so there has to be some alcohol.
Yeah, there will be him. Cash bar. Yep.
Yeah, that's good.
And we have the time for prayer. You know, we have mass, adoration. So it's kind of like a retreat for those who look at it and think it's just some, you know, meetup thing. No, I mean, it's a time to really strengthen your faith and be encouraged.
And people can sign. Yeah, people can sign up for adoration, like you said. People do the rosary walk at what time in the morning?
Today? For the early birds. Yeah, 7:30 in the morning, the rosary walk.
Not necessarily the same people that are going to be
dancing late.
Yeah, no. But you know, it's a big mix. It's a big family. So
yeah. And then we have the social things. Like we have an hors d'oeuvre reception Friday night. We have lunch together Saturday. Saturday night, people always go out to eat at different restaurants.
That's always a blast. Yeah.
Yeah, and then of course the highlight with the dance on Saturday evening.
Yeah.
And then before and after the conference, there's pre and post conference events too.
And we have mass on Sunday. Are we going to have a bishop, or are we going to have
Bishop
a priest?
Bishop Fitzgerald, one of the auxiliary bishops there in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, will be there.
Cool.
And actually, the Friday night after party, after the reception, there's the Deuces Wild Saloon, which is about half a mile.
That sounds like two-step or something.
From the hotel, and they've got a mechanical bowl. So for all the Texans that are missing.
In Texas,
they have a mechanical bowl, and
I'm sure that there'll be some Texans that'll go. Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I mean, I'll be one of them. I'm Yankee/Texan.
So, both from Austin, Houston, Dallas, San Antonio.
Yeah, big crowd. I do well in those. It's prophet in his own land, which I shouldn't do well in, but I do it kind of. But yeah. Okay. But it always gets back to me somehow. Yes. Yeah, so. let's see, what else did we want to say about it? Also, there's going to have to be a little bit of swing dancing. But yeah, so, I first encountered some of the non-Christopher West Theology of the Body speakers, because everybody always thought, Theology of the Body, it's only Christopher West. But this is the first time I encountered Mary Beth Bonacci and Dr. Edward Shree. And what I like is you break up some of the conferences I've been to, you break up the guys and the girls into separate tracks.
Yep, for one of the
specific. Yeah, so I thought that was good.
Yeah, no, it's great, because then you can focus on issues, you know, specific to the men or specific to the women. And yeah, Father Thomas Loya is one of the big Theology of the Body speakers that we'll be having here. He's a Byzantine Catholic priest. He's an artist and an iconographer. He has some great talks on like the difference between art and pornography. And he likes to integrate theology of the body with a lot of current issues.
Mm-hmm.
So he likes to, you know, take challenges, you know, questions, you know, what's the answer to this current issue that we have? And, you know, he says, well, put on your theology of the body glasses and, you know, and kind of interpret things in that light. So it really is a whole way of looking at things. Lisa Duffy, she is a blogger for Catholic Match, and she's done a lot of work with... post, you know, with divorce recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And so her talk is not just on that, but she can integrate some aspects of that from her own experience too.
I mean, that is divorce recovery is a interesting ministry, right? People don't know if they feel like they belong anymore after having a divorce or annulment, right?
Right.
And they don't know, or if they have a divorce, but they haven't been annulled yet, right? So they don't know where they fit in anymore, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of misunderstanding with that, and I think that it's important that there be, you know, clarification. That some people think, well, I can't come to church because I'm divorced. Well, that's not true.
You know,
all the more reason to come
to church.
Yeah,
you need it even more, right? You need the support of community, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. So I'm really happy that she'll be there to speak on that. And then we have Daniel Mattson, who's actually a musician.
Hmm.
He plays, I think it's the trombone. I don't know, but he plays with the symphony.
Oh, cool.
And he has a lot of interesting experience. He has a great talk that I heard, and that's the reason why I booked him, but he has some great analogies and from his own experience as a single person. And then Damon Owens is the closing speaker, and he is going to be speaking on Sunday. And he actually has a great voice from what I hear. We're going to get to try to get him to sing for us. So.
Okay. Wait, is he meaning like a cantor on... or you mean this will be like a concert or a little...
No, I mean, I think maybe Maybe impromptu. We can get him to do something at the end of his talk. It should be fun. Make and then Emily
sing
Simpson.
For his dinner. It's been him.
Yeah, well, and then Father Loy is speaking to the men, and he's always very popular with the men. And Emily Stimson is speaking to the women, and she has a couple books, one that just came out on the theology of the body applied to everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is the Catholic Single Girls Survival Guide, and she's very funny. She's a great writer and has some great words of wisdom. So I'm looking forward to hearing her talk as well. So it's something new. It's not her. She's doing it just for this conference. So
yeah, it's only good speakers. I'm usually a slacker, and sometimes if I'm out late, I might miss the morning. But I'm a responsible adult lately, so I'll actually be at the morning speakers.
Yeah, I had somebody else called and said she wasn't a morning person, and is it okay if she didn't come to them all? I'm like, yeah, you know, we're all adults here. You can.
No, you got to bring a slip if you're late.
You just missed the coffee in the morning, that's all.
That's right, yeah. All right, well, cool. Well, this sounds good. I'm looking forward to it. This should be a fun trip, fun conference.
Yeah, we're expecting over 400 people.
Cool.
We have people already registered from over 31 states, Canada, Mexico, Belize, and Australia, believe it or not.
Okay. Yeah, I have fans in Australia now. So.
Yeah.
And in Tasmania, New South Wales, big in New Zealand. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I said the sun never sets on Joe's people now, so yeah.
That's great. Yeah, you got it covered now. Well, so yeah, especially if people are it's 2 weeks away, September 27th to the 29th.
Especially if they're in the area.
King of Prussia.
Yeah.
Elena, are you going to post the link on the website?
Yeah.
So people can.
In fact, I was spamming today. Yeah, so
okay,
I posted it. So.
Well, just so all your listeners know, that's the date, September 27th, 29th, right outside of Philadelphia in King of Prussia, and there's still space to register. It is the largest and the only event like this for Catholic singles in the States, as far as I know, in the world, actually. But
yeah. Cool.
So it's definitely something to come to if you can.
All right, and thank you for organizing it. So,
oh, you're welcome.
I appreciate it.
It's fun. It's got side benefits. You know, you get to meet a ton of great people. So
there is, yeah. That's part of why I do Joe's People. So, but yeah. All right. Well, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Yep. And we'll take a break. We'll be back.
All righty. God bless.
That's the show for this week. I want to thank my good friend Anastasia Northrup for being on the show and for sharing her story of the genesis of the National Catholic Singles Conference. You can find out more about the conference at nationalcatholicsingles.com. That's nationalcatholicsingles.com. And you can find out more about Theology of the Body at theologyofthebody.net. And you can also find out about the Theology of the Body International Alliance at tobia.info. And thank you for joining us for a mile or two in our walk with God. I know now we have many fans in England now, and it reminds me that there's a prayer from the Anglican Book of Common Prayer that I've always liked. It's actually used by Anglican Rite Catholics also now. And it's from the night prayer, or as we Catholics call it, Compline. And it goes something like this. Keep watch, dear Lord, with those who work or watch or weep this night, and give thy angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ, give rest to the weary, bless the dying, soothe the suffering, pity the afflicted, shield the joyous, and all for thy love's sake. Amen. That's all from Austin, Texas. This is Joe Geisler saying good night and God bless. Closer to the Lord, just chill out.